Good morning. Please open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. All right, Matthew chapter 5. We'll be focusing on verse 3 this morning, but I'll read verses 1 through 3 just for a little context. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Lord, we thank you so much for your word and what it declares about you and about us. And Lord, we pray that you would work by your Holy Spirit this morning to teach us who we really are before your face, and who we are in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to see these things and to rejoice and be glad. We pray you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, as I pointed out last week, we are heading into the Sermon on the Mount, and in particular this week, we're heading into Jesus' introduction to the Sermon on the Mount that he gives. He gives us the Beatitudes, which is his introduction. And it's in these Beatitudes that Jesus not only identifies who the citizens of his kingdom are, but he begins to set up for us really a contrast of what it means to be a citizen of his kingdom and the blessed state it is to be a citizen of his kingdom, as opposed to a part of the kingdom of this world, and what this world thinks what it means to be blessed. And what Jesus is doing is really turning our expectations upside down. We live in this world, we have a certain perspective on what it means to have the good life, the blessed life, the happy life. And this is being fed to us by the world and even by the desires of our own hearts. But Jesus gives us the right perspective, the actual perspective of what it truly means to be blessed. Jesus calls us to embrace our position and condition and even rejoice and be glad as blessed citizens of his kingdom. And you see this idea even in the last Beatitude, verse 11, where Jesus says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." And I think that call to rejoice and be glad actually flows back over all of those Beatitudes that Jesus gives. And that's connected to the main point for us this morning as we look at the first of these Beatitudes. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the call this morning is for us to recognize and embrace your need of Jesus. Recognize and embrace your spiritual poverty. Recognize and embrace your need of Jesus and rejoice and be glad in him. Now, as we begin, it's good to remember what it means to be blessed. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I mentioned last week that word "blessed" in Greek carries this idea of being favored by God. And in this particular instance here, it's not a matter of blessing someone, but Jesus is identifying the condition which we are in. And so this is having favor with God, meaning that God is for you. You receive from God this privileged position and privileged possessions. God acts in kindness and mercy and grace towards you. To be pronounced or declared blessed is to be in a condition in which God is favorable towards you. And so Jesus is not talking about conferring or giving a blessing upon people, nor is he calling us or showing us or telling us how to live a life worthy of blessing so that we can attain it. Or if we live in this way, that we can get it. But what Jesus is pointing out is that the ones indicated here in these Beatitudes, in this first one here, blessed are the poor in spirit, are those who are blessed from God's perspective. This is a pronouncement, a declaration, a description of blessing upon the particular people in this condition. Remember, this is identity that we're talking about here. And this is important to remember. We're not earning this blessing. But something else that's important to see here is that while this is a pronouncement of blessing, there still is a lived experience of blessing that comes from walking and living in accord with the word and will of God. There is a blessedness to embracing one's identity and living according to that identity, identifying as one who is poor in spirit and living out of that reality. Again, not in a salvation sense, not in earning a blessing sense, but in a, when you live in the way God has designed and decreed, things naturally go more smoothly, and additionally, your heart and consciences are at peace, sort of sense. Right? You live as God has designed. That's how you are made. That's how we were called to be. When you embrace what God has made you to be or called you to be, things go better for you in that when you embrace it and live according to it. So when you embrace who and what God has called you to be, there is a blessed peace that flows from that. And so to be blessed is a declaration of identity, yes, of those indicated, but there is a lived experience of blessing when one embraces it and doesn't seek to live against it or live contrary to it. And Jesus applies this first declaration of blessing to the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, perhaps the first thing that comes to mind when you hear that word poor is to be lacking in physical wealth or in material possessions. But what Jesus is saying here is not essentially related to physical wealth or material possessions, but someone who is poor spiritually. Poor in spirit, Jesus says. Not that he is poor in spirituality. You may have a person who is very spiritual in what they are doing. They're always seeking that which is beyond this world. It may not even be Christian, but they might be spiritual. Jesus is not talking about those who are poor in spirituality. Nor is he talking about people who are poor in the Holy Spirit. That's not the impression we should get from this passage. That's not what Matthew or Jesus is talking about. But what Jesus is talking about is someone who is convinced of their own spiritual poverty. Someone who is convinced of their own spiritual poverty, meaning that he or she is not trusting in their own spiritual self-sufficiency to make it through this life or to stand before God, because they recognize they have nothing to offer. They have nothing to give. They're poor. They're empty-handed. They can't rely on themselves. Now, as we think about this, this is not unrelated to physical wealth or possessions. And Luke even seems to make this connection a little bit more explicit in his version of the Beatitudes when he records Jesus saying simply, "Blessed are the poor." And then he just stops right there. That's a bit more of an encompassing statement that can clearly include those lacking physical possessions, even though it's clear from the context that it's significantly about the spiritual condition of what's going on. But it is true, isn't it, that the wealthy or those who have many possessions may not be poor in spirit. Consider what Jesus says in Matthew 19, 23 through 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Why does Jesus say these things? Well, firstly, I think it's because the rich person has so much in this world. They've built so much of their own kingdom here on earth. It's hard to conceive of another kingdom and of even desiring or wanting another kingdom. But beyond that, it's because those who are rich, who have lots of possessions, can be tempted to self-sufficiency. They can usually take care of their own problems and get by, right? If you have a problem, what do? You just pull out your wallet and you pay somebody to take care of it for you, right? You can handle your situations. And they may come to the conclusion about themselves that I'm really not in need. I have everything I need, or I can supply what I need. I don't need to rely on anyone or anything else. And this can begin to impact the way they view themselves, even spiritually. Because they don't feel any physical need, they may not perceive any great spiritual need. Or because they think they can take care of their physical condition, that they are sufficiently equipped to take care of their spiritual condition. But the reality is that when it comes to our spiritual standing before God, or our ability to live to or for God in this life, we are utterly bankrupt apart from Jesus Christ. We're bankrupt apart from Jesus Christ. Because of mankind's fall into sin, man has been separated from a living and saving relationship with God. And there is absolutely nothing we can do to restore or repair or reinstate or even purchase back that relationship with God. Man does not have the spiritual ability to earn life with God or to live in a peaceful relationship with Him again. The Apostle Paul expresses that desperate and bankrupt condition when he says that because of sin, we are dead spiritually. It means we've got nothing to give. Speaking of that condition of sin, he says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, that you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. And so because of that fallen condition, that slavery, that state of spiritual death, we don't have any life to give. We don't have any spiritual currency, if you will, to put us in a good position with God. And so again, Paul will say, this time from Romans 3:10, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And all Paul is doing is quoting the Old Testament. He's referring back to the Psalms that say the same thing. Or he's picking up this idea from Isaiah, when Isaiah says that all our works are like filthy rags. We've all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment, we're told in Isaiah 64:4. Which is why Jesus and Paul both say that apart from Jesus, in our own strength, we can do nothing. We cannot please God. Jesus says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot have a vital or saving or peace-filled relationship or life apart from Him. Paul says in Romans 8:5, we can't even please God apart from the Spirit of Christ. It's kind of concerning, isn't it? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and to set the mind on the flesh is death. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to His law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We live according to our nature in the flesh. We cannot please God. Friends, this is what it means to be spiritually bankrupt. We are poor in spirit. This is what life is like apart from Jesus Christ. We do not have by nature the spiritual capital to earn our way back to God or to live in a way that pleases or glorifies Him. And this is what the Apostle Paul began to understand about himself and came to realize about himself, as he expresses in Philippians chapter 3. Despite all of his religious accomplishments, his accolades, his worldly status, and his works, he realized that he was bankrupt. He was utterly poor and poor in spirit. He says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as lost for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know Him." My friends, we are poor in spirit. We are spiritually bankrupt, which is why we need the Lord to save us. We need the Lord to save us and to walk with us. Because we are poor in spirit, we need life and salvation purchased for us. Remember, you're bankrupt. And so you need life. You need salvation purchased for you. Because we owed an overwhelming sin debt to God, which we could never pay in order to have peace with God, we needed Jesus to pay that penalty of debt for us, which He did by His sacrificial death on the cross. And because we owed a perfect and perpetual righteous obedience to God in order to have life with Him, which we had already failed to give Him in Adam and in our own sin, we needed the perfect righteousness of Jesus to be given to us, which He earned by His righteous life. And because we all must face death and the grave as the consequence of sin and do not have the power to bring ourselves from death to life, we need the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to give life to our mortal body so we can live with our Creator and Redeemer forever. These are the wonderful truths of the gospel, the fact that this rich Jesus became poor for us so that we could become rich in Him. Friends, because we are poor in spirit, we need the Lord Jesus to save us. But because we are poor in spirit, we also need Jesus to walk with us in this life, don't we? Remember what Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." That John 15:5 quote comes in the context of the vine and branches imagery that Jesus gives, where Jesus describes Himself as that life-giving vine and His people as the branches. And if we would produce or grow and produce good, God-glorifying fruit in our lives, if we would live with the fruit of the Spirit blossoming in our lives, that fruit of love, joy, and peace, that patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, if we would see this, then we need to be connected to and abiding in Jesus, the vine. And friends, this calls for humility, doesn't it? It calls for recognizing that we are poor in spirit. This is not waking up in the morning and standing up on your feet and bracing yourself or steeling yourself to face the day. But this is waking up in the morning and falling on your knees and acknowledging that you cannot make it through this day apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and pleading for His strength and for His help. This is not going through your day and committing your situations and your circumstances and the way you deal with others, your friends, your family, committing it to your own wisdom or to your own competency or to your own emotional or physical fortitude. How wearying. Maybe you felt that. But it's going through your day and committing everything that comes your way into the hands of the Lord by prayer and seeking His help and wisdom and strength and guidance and blessing to enable you to navigate all that He brings to you by His providence in a way that honors and glorifies Him and does good and shows love to those around you. Friends, this is to be poor in spirit. Instead of being spiritually self-sufficient, just trying to do it yourself. It's a call for an acknowledgement that you cannot do this on your own. And guess what? That's okay. That's actually a really good thing. Because as Jesus told the Apostle Paul in his weakness, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. How good it is to acknowledge that you are poor in spirit, because that means that you're not relying on yourself. You are poor in spirit. That means the weight is not all on you, but you are trusting in, you are relying upon the presence and strength of Jesus, who not only saves you, but who walks with you day by day, moment by moment. Why are you bearing the weight of all of this life upon your own shoulders when Jesus, the righteous, strong one, walks by you? Acknowledge your poverty and turn to the one who can take it all, who can bear it all. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But this is not the call of the world, is it? This is not the call of the world. This is not the call of the evil one. This is not even the call of your own hearts by nature. The world, the flesh, and the devil continually call you to trust in yourself. Those three great enemies of the Christian, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is that worldly system, that kingdom that exists contrary to Christ. The world is constantly calling you to despise inability, right? To despise humility, to despise poverty of any sort. It calls you to gain the resources, the competency, the possessions, the ability, and the power that you need to take care of yourself and your circumstances so you don't need the help or support of anyone else around you. You need to do this yourself. It calls you to fill your life even with convenience. Do what you can to make your life easier so that you don't even sense your inadequacy in this life. The world calls you to trust in yourself and not be poor. The flesh as well, when we think of it, it's not just your physical body, but your fallen nature that still exists as a part of you even after you are saved. The flesh is trying to get you to prove yourself day by day, prove yourself in an attempt to gain self-worth or value from others. It often tries to prove its own competency by relying on its own strength or wisdom or emotional inclinations to make it through the day or to tackle whatever situation may come, whether it's easy or very complex. Don't go to the Lord. Just trust your intuition. Trust your instinct. Trust your gut. Do what makes you feel happy or do what feels right. And then, of course, there's the devil, that enemy, that ancient enemy of God's people, who's behind both the world and your flesh, who's always trying to get you to live life without acknowledging your need for God, to try to get you to do it alone. He's been doing that from the very beginning, hasn't he? And this could be that he gets you to try to outright reject God's presence and role in your life, in your day-to-day activities, but Satan's often not so overt in his attacks. Often it's more subtle than this. He'll use the world and your flesh to bring you to the point where you are either so distracted that you don't have time to seek the Lord and His help in your life, or you start thinking and simply acting as one who says, well, I can just take care of this real quick. I don't need the Lord's help. Or I can do this on my own. I don't need to seek the Lord's wisdom or help or guidance in this regard. Or I've been doing this for a while now, I've got this, I don't need Jesus in this. And you know, this might even have a religious bent to it. Satan's not afraid to use religion to his own ends, in which Satan, working with your flesh, tries to get you to live a good and holy life. Do you believe that Satan would try to get you to live a good and holy life? I think he can, and I think he does, but this is how he does it. He tries to get you to live a good and holy life, to strive to be like Jesus, and yet do it without seeking Christ's mercy or grace or strength to do it. And how often we do this. How often we try to live like Christians, but spend so little time in communion with the one who actually enables us to do it. Right? We play the role of Christians, but there's no life, there's no power, there's no grace to enable us to actually walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. How little we pray, how little we commit our ways to the Lord, how little we feed on His Word as our daily bread. One might actually think by looking at our lives that we thought we were rich in spirit for how little we rely on the Lord to live this life for Him. Father, forgive us. Everything around us and within us calls us not to be poor in spirit. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But why? Why do the poor in spirit experience a blessed condition? Why should they be seen as blessed? Well, because when you consider and you recognize your spiritual poverty, you have no choice but to reach out beyond yourself for help and for salvation. You stop striving to save yourself because you've got nothing to use to do it. Right? You're empty. You're bankrupt. You stop trying to live life in your own strength because it's empty. But you're willing to rely on one greater and stronger than you. And what a blessed condition this is. This means that you who labor and are heavy laden can find rest for your souls by admitting your spiritual poverty and coming to Christ. And how freeing that is. How liberating, how peaceful that is. How blessed. But what's more is that for those who are poor in spirit, who recognize their poverty, they are blessed because what does Jesus say? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Meaning that these are those who have been rescued by the Lord Himself and delivered into His kingdom of life, into His kingdom that is and will be victorious, into that kingdom that is not twisted and corrupt like this world, but into that pure and beautiful and righteous and holy kingdom that will endure forever and ever and ever. In short, poor in spirit are blessed because they have been saved from death to life. From darkness to light, from brokenness to restoration, from emptiness to God Himself. Friends, those who are poor in spirit become those who are rich in grace. And what a blessing that is. We receive all that we could ever desire or need or didn't even know we needed in Jesus Christ. As we become possessors of life and of God Himself. As Paul says in Romans 8:32, God who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Indeed, God being rich in mercy made us alive together with Christ, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace. Ephesians 2. Those in the kingdom of heaven have eternal spiritual life now, and will be raised from the dead to everlasting physical life in the age to come, all because you have the Savior Himself. All because you have the one, the Jesus, who lived, died, and rose again for you. And you have Him forever. How could we not be considered blessed? What a precious possession. And friends, how different this is from the alternative. Jesus gives us several pictures of those not poor in spirit and their resultant unblessed state, really their cursed status. Think of the rich man and Lazarus from Luke 16. That rich man who's living in luxury while Lazarus, that poor beggar covered with sores, lies at his gate longing for scraps. Both men die, and Lazarus is carried by the angels to Abraham's side, to the place where God's covenant people experience life with the Lord. But the rich man, his wealth did not save him. It did not serve him at his death. Instead, he's buried and he ends up in the torment of hell. Or consider the Pharisees. Not only do their works and outward displays of righteousness not save them, but the attention and the status in the eyes of man are the only rewards they will receive. That's all they get. Jesus, several times in the Sermon on the Mount, when speaking of the Pharisees, those who thought themselves to be rich in spirit because of all of their outward shows of religion and diligent striving, Jesus says of them, they are praised by others, they are seen by others, they are esteemed in the eyes of everyone. Everyone's impressed by them. But I tell you, they've received their reward. The praise and esteem of man and whatever earthly status they can get now is all they're going to get. It's all they will receive. The rich man by his wealth and the Pharisees by their impressive religious works may have gained the whole world, but they're not blessed because they've forfeited their souls. Despite what may seem impressive from the world's perspective, despite what your heart may desire, blessed are not the rich in spirit. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so, friends, as citizens of the kingdom, embrace it and live like it. Embrace that identity. Embrace being poor in spirit. Recognize your spiritual insufficiency. Embrace humility. See it as good and blessed. And rejoice and be glad that Christ has brought you to see it. And then Jesus has brought you to himself. Do not be deceived by the kingdom of this world into thinking that you are not blessed. Because who says you are? Jesus. Jesus says it is so. But don't just embrace it, but live as those who are poor in spirit. Acknowledge your need of Jesus daily as you wake up in the morning. Acknowledge that he's the one who actually kept you while you were sleeping throughout the night. Right? You woke this morning because Jesus kept you alive while you slept. Acknowledge that he's the one who kept you and he's the one who needs to be the one who walks with you through this day. Plead for his wisdom. Plead for his mercy. Plead for his help in your relationships with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your children. Ask for the Spirit's help and strength to live as Jesus would live. Ask him to govern your home with mercy and peace. Don't try to do it yourself. Read and feed on his word for the very life and strength and guidance you need to live like Jesus, and glorify your Father in heaven. Cry out to him. Ask that he would lead you not into temptation, but deliver you from evil. But also when you do fall, flee to him and seek his continual forgiveness. And friends, I hope you don't hear this as a to-do list for you to check off so that you can be blessed. So that you can get your blessing from the Lord. That's not it. This is simply acknowledging who you are. Poor in spirit. And then living like that. Not living as the world would have you live, or how Satan in your heart would have you live, rich in the spirit. But you're poor in spirit. It's rejoicing and being glad that you can't do it on your own, but how good it is to have your strong Savior Jesus at your right hand to stand with you and walk with you all of your days. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they have the very King of the kingdom of heaven with them. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, Jesus tells the citizens of his kingdom. Jesus tells you. The world is trying to get you to live like you are rich. Rich in the things of this world, able to get by and even prosper without God in Christ. But despite the temptation to live in this way, despite the disdain or the pressure or the scorn you may feel or receive for being poor in spirit, remember Jesus' words, apart from me, you can do nothing. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, maybe you're here this morning and you're listening to this and you've come to see and realize your poverty in spirit, but you have not yet come to Christ. Maybe you're sensing it for the first time this morning, or maybe you've known it for a while now, that you just can't make it through this life on your own. You know you're not right with God, but you don't know what to do about it, or you know that there's nothing you can do about it. You come to recognize that you're poor in spirit. My friends, have you heard what Jesus said? Blessed are the poor in spirit, because Jesus comes to people like you. Jesus comes to people like you. He sees your poverty and he gives you everything. He gives you himself for life and for salvation. It's a free offer. It's a free gift. All you need do is ask for it. Jesus, I'm poor. Jesus, I'm a sinner before you and have nothing to offer. But you are rich in mercy. You are rich in mercy. Come to me, help me, save me, that I might be brought into your kingdom and have life and salvation with you. May it be so. May you hear those words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you did not require us to earn our salvation or life with you, but how good you are to save us when we were low and poor. That you sent the King of the ages to come to us, to divest himself of all of his rights and privileges, his glory and his honor, to become poor and lowly for us, that we might be exalted with you in him. What a gospel. What life we have in Jesus. May we see this more and more and live every day like this, knowing that we are blessed who are poor in spirit, for ours is the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.